Mecca to cross the southern border of the United States. Call their exodus from their homelands a desperate quest for greater income, freedom, or security, or simply for a chance to be an unfamiliar citizen somewhere else rather than a certain serf, non-citizen, or subject at home. Of the world's rare true democracies, only about 22 have been in existence for a half century or more. Lamentably, the number of democracies is now shrinking, not growing. Ironic when so many people are now leaving what is ascendant to reach what is vanishing. Perhaps that depressing fact is a reminder that it is not an easy thing for people to govern themselves, much less to protect and exercise their inherited freedoms. Citizenship, after all, is not an entitlement. It requires work. Yet too many citizens of republics, ancient and modern, come to believe that they deserve rights without assuming responsibilities, and they don't worry how or why or from whom they inherited their privileges. Yet, for the lucky global residents of constitutional states, citizenship has translated into shared freedoms beyond superficial appearance. It is a quality more fundamental than a common religion and collective geography. Citizens are not mere residents, prone to receiving more than giving. They are not tribal people who band together by appearance or blood ties. They are not peasants under the control of the rich, nor is their first allegiance to an abstract worldwide commonwealth. 18th century German political philosopher of the Enlightenment, Immanuel Kant, perhaps best summed up all the exceptional entitlements that he hoped one day could define a Western citizen, at least in his own rosy expectation of an idealized European to come. Kant saw the citizen alone as enjoying lawful freedom, the attribute of obeying no other law than that to which he has given his consent. In other words, a king or dictator could not force his will upon those who never elected him. Kant added that citizens should be assured of civil equality under the law. They should not recognize among the people any superior with the moral capacity to bind him as a matter of right in a way that he could not in turn bind the other. The state cannot treat the rich, the better born, or the well-connected any better than it does the poor, the peasant, and the obscure. Finally, Kant cited the attribute of civil independence. The goal of a citizen was to owe his existence and preservation to his own rights and powers as a member of the Commonwealth, not to the choice of another among the people. The citizen does not have to thank anyone for his rights. They are innate and properly his own. These 18th century visions of philosophers like Kant were not realized throughout Europe until the early 1990s, when parliamentary democracies replaced the last dying communist regimes of Eastern Europe, more than two centuries after the foundation of American democracy. Their creators did not always keep or even fully grasp the promises of Western citizenship. Yet only under consensual governments was there at least a chance that citizenship would eventually fully match its ideals with reality. A free, legally equal, and politically independent citizenry, when translated to the modern American experience, means that citizens of the United States should not follow any laws other than those authorized by their own elected representatives. Unelected regulators can issue edicts galore, but they should not necessarily have the force of law. No college administrator should decide on Monday that the First Amendment no longer applies on his campus. No mayor can claim on Tuesday that federal immigration law no longer exists in her city. No one American deserves greater deference under the law than any other, not on the basis of race, class, gender, birth, or money, not on the basis of historic claims to justify contemporary advantage. Police and prosecutors arrest and